Discrimination often happens in access to employment. And there it's particularly difficult because you don't know the other people that had been hired or not been hired. You don't know their qualifications. We know by experience that particularly at that step, entering into employment, discrimination appears quite regularly.
Hello and welcome to Inside Deutschland, your guide to careers in Germany, Season 2. This podcast provides you with insight into working in Germany and tips on how to navigate opportunities and challenges across the German labor market. I'm your host, Jessica Schuler, a Germany-focused career coach, trainer, and international educator. As part of the Inside Deutschland podcast, I interview people from all over the globe who've been successful in Germany and who have interesting insights and expertise on what working in Germany is actually like so you can learn from their experience. In the last episode of our second season, we're diving into a topic that's crucial for anyone working in Germany. Whether you're a German national or an immigrant, labor laws in Germany apply to everyone. However, these laws can differ significantly from those in your home country, making it essential to understand them to protect your rights and make informed decisions. Today, we'll not only explore the nuances of German labor laws, but we'll also be tackling a critical issue, discrimination in the workplace. We'll discuss how to recognize whether you're being treated equally in comparison to your colleagues, for example, and what steps you should take if you feel you've been discriminated against on the job. Our guest today is Vera Eggenberger, a seasoned expert with over 30 years of experience in the field of equality, equity, and diversity. She's currently working for the German Trade Union Confederation, or in German, the Deutsche Gewerkschaftsbund. As such, we will also be talking today about what role trade unions play in Germany and what you should know to protect your rights. But before we kick off our conversation with Vera, we want to hear from you. Have you had any experiences within the legal framework in Germany? Have you ever faced discrimination in the workplace? If so, how did you handle it? Please share your stories in the comments or let us know in our online feedback form, which we'll link to in the show notes. But in the meantime, let's jump into the interview with Vera Eggenberger. Welcome to Inside Deutschland, your guide to careers in Germany. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
You've held various roles over the years in the field of equal treatment, including your current role within the German Trade Union Confederation, or the Deutsche Gewerkschaftsbund. Can you provide us with some insight into your responsibilities and activities in these positions?
I'm working in a very small department of the Federal Trade Union Congress office in the Department on Migration, Democracy and Right-Wing Movement and Anti-Racism Policies. I am covering the topics migration, asylum and anti-racism policies. And I'm actually working in that field since a very long time with more focuses on non-discrimination. But in that particular position, I'm covering migration and labor migration to a very large extent.
How did you originally become interested and concerned in the issue of equal treatment?
Interesting question. Rather by coincidence, I started looking out for a job and I started in a little information organization, civil society organization that provided information to educational people in youth work, provided information on asylum, migration, anti-racism work, non-discrimination and all those type of things. And since then, and this dates back to 30 years, I haven't changed the topic. I have changed jobs, but
so
I haven't changed
in love with
the
it.
Topic. Yes.
When you look back, what would you say is one of the largest changes or jumps forward or accomplishments in the field of anti-discrimination work from the past 30 years?
I think there are two strands that I would like to mention. One is that we have an equal treatment law that is setting a standard, which is not very well known, but still it's there. And the second thing is that in the field of immigration, Germany has changed its view on what immigration means tremendously. Actually, it changed it entirely over the last 3 or 4 years. And that gives a very different impact on the society. Well, I'm not sure if the society itself would realize it that way. But if you look on it from a professional perspective, there are a lot of different standards now.
That's a really good segue into the next couple of questions I wanted to ask you concerning individuals and anti-discrimination. If you are thinking about international employees, international workers who are coming to Germany, how can they recognize if they're being discriminated against in the workplace?
This is a good question because it's not easy to answer. If you have the impression that something is done in a different way with you as an immigrant compared to a person that might be already in the company with a German background or with a EU background, there might be an indication that there is discrimination, but there's actually more to that. There are several components that you need to, and this is given by the legal framework, that if you are differently treated, which is not reasonable, and that reasonable is the key point, if it's not reasonable and there is no justification for this, then you might have faced discrimination. And to find that out is not always easy. Mm-hmm. And you actually also need a comparator. You need a person that you can compare with, because unequal treatment often means not just in its own, but you need the comparison to another person. What was differently done, or where were we be treated differently? And even that comparison is not easily demonstrated.
I can really imagine that if I think about, for example, if you have a company with employees who speak German and those who maybe only speak English, and thinking about how would you then compare, because this point of, is it a reasonable difference that's being made for the employees, for example, who only speak English, then maybe it's not a case of discrimination, but maybe it is, depending on, you know, what the context is. I can imagine that being very complicated.
Discrimination often happens in access to employment. And there it's particularly difficult because you don't know the other people that had been hired or not been hired. You don't know their qualifications. We know by experience that particularly at that step, entering into employment, discrimination appears quite regularly. When it comes to having a contract already and you are treated differently, it might be somewhat easier because you may know your colleagues. You may be in touch with them and exchange, well, I have been trying to do this and that. And others say, well, strange, because for me, it was not a problem to do this and you have been neglected. You may get some evidence on such situations.
Mm-hmm. But if we think about applying for work in Germany and how that is kind of a point at which there seems to be a lot of discrimination, what are some tips that you would give international workers to? I mean, it's hard to say that they can like personally somehow avoid it because they can't, right? They're not the ones who are doing the discriminating. But maybe what are some things that they can watch out for or things that they can do to protect themselves?
Well, in fact, they could try to get information on how the process is done, how the candidates are compared, which qualifications are assessed in which way, in order to get the neutral aspects that are assessed. And when it comes to discrimination, often the non-neutral, meaning the emotional, the personal aspects are more judged because you think a person from an African country may not be as qualified as someone else, and the personal and emotional parts are coming in. And if candidates are asking for the criteria, the hard criteria, they may get an idea how they themselves are then assessed and what the results could be.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they would need to know the law, which is not an easy thing. It's a legal text, but we are lucky enough that there are quite a lot of organizations that are supporting victims of discrimination, and there are structures where they can ask for help and advice.
What are some of those structures, organizations that you would recommend people turn to if they feel like they've been discriminated against?
Well, I would mention two, and one is related to the organization that I'm working for. We have in almost all lender, not in every city, but increasingly civil society counseling structures, anti-discrimination offices. They're well equipped, they're very professional, and they are supporting victims of discrimination in assessing what the situation was. Was it a discrimination or was it not? What does the law say? How could they get in contact with the employer to see what the situation was? If need be, would a legal case make sense or not? All those support mechanisms exist. And trade unions do similar things. If you are a trade union member, you automatically have access to legal services. And particularly in the employment context, these legal services are very experienced. They are doing this since 20, 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there, a second layer of support can be found.
And if we think about the in-between, so when you've got a job offer, maybe a couple of different offers, and now you've been presented with some contracts, right? What should international workers know when it comes to employment contracts and anti-discrimination?
Germany has a lot of rules concerning labor law, and most of the employers are actually obeying to those laws. Discrimination rather appears not in the legal contract itself, but rather in the selection of people or in the treatment when an employment contract has been finalized and people are starting to work. So I'm actually quite optimistic that not within the legal framework there might be obstacles because it's all ruled by employment regulations. So people would not need to be afraid signing a contract because normally it's well off. If they would have an indication that there might be problems, if they are already a trade union member, they could well ask the legal services to have an analysis, check this. If they are not a trade union member, they still could ask a lawyer to see if they could check this and if everything is fine.
Do you see a lot of cases of salary discrimination against internationals?
There might be a tendency that people coming from other countries where the salary levels are much lower compared to Germany, and they may not yet know what the living conditions are and the living costs, they may find a salary that is low from a German perspective might be quite acceptable for them because they may not yet know that rent is increasing every other year and food is expensive and all other living costs might raise over time. There might be a problem, but some companies do have this employment regulations and they are bound to certain salaries. If it's a job and particularly highly skilled people would not have this framework, so they would need to negotiate in a good manner to get a salary that is appropriate to their colleagues, for example.
Mm-hmm. Are there any specific industries or sectors in Germany where international workers are more likely to experience discrimination?
I wouldn't say so, because it's not necessarily more in certain areas. It's rather living areas. For example, in access to housing, we know that foreigners particularly do experience discrimination because some housing companies would say, well, people that don't speak well German or not mother tongue quality German, we don't want to sign a contract with, or bigger families we would not like. So sometimes immigrants would have maybe bringing their parents with them, so the housing companies may neglect this. But experience is not only in the employment sector, but in general, in society, in access to goods and services, the people of visible minorities do experience discrimination as well, beside the employment sector.
Moving to a different country is a complex undertaking. When someone is just getting started, you know, they're having to find housing, they're getting started with their job, they have all these things to do, but of course, it is also important to get an idea of, okay, which laws do I need to be aware of? Or what are some of the legal aspects of working in Germany that I really do need to understand because it impacts my work? What would you say people get started with? Or what would be kind of the main things that you would recommend to them?
Two main things are, I think learning the language is quite important. Information is the second one, but if you don't speak the language, information might be hardly accessible because most of the things in the German information sector are in German. If you speak the language well, you can basically ask everywhere. And we have a lot of information centers, websites, info channels, counseling offices. So the support mechanisms are actually there. The problem is, how can you find them? And can you communicate with the people that are offering the information?
Because many of these services are there. They're just perhaps only offered in German, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You've mentioned trade unions a few times that they can serve as a source of support for people who are coming from abroad and working here in Germany. Can you talk about their role and how someone can join a trade union?
The role of trade unions in Germany is an important one for employees. We have a long tradition of trade unions that have been slightly rearranged, and there are now various bigger sectors like the metal workers, the train workers, the public sector workers, the construction workers. They have formed their sectorial trade unions, and whoever wants to become a member of a trade union can do this. So there's no limitation. The first day that you come to Germany, you can become a trade union member. If you register, and when you are in a job, then a certain amount, I think it's about 3% of your salary, is then deducted to pay the membership fee. Within that membership fee, you automatically have the legal services, you get counseling services. And within the companies themselves, there is not always only through trade unions, but also through the inner company laws, there are employee representation structures. And everybody who is working in a company is allowed to vote for this. So the workers' councils are elected by every person with a German passport or without. Everybody who is working in the company can vote for this. And those workers' councils have a very strong legal background and very strong legal stand within the company to look on equal treatment, to look on proper behavior, to look on the rights of employers. And this is very strongly supported by trade unions.
Are you referring to the Betriebsrat?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say someone does need to file a complaint and go through the process of getting protection for being discriminated against. What does that process look like and what type of protection can they expect to get?
In principle, there are two ways. Every company, big or small, public or private, is obliged by the Equal Treatment Act, which is our anti-discrimination law, to have a complaints mechanism to be offered to the workers. Not every company has installed that. Our law is now 18 years old. I see an increase that this inner company complaints mechanism is offered. Some companies are very good and are very professional in doing this. So that's the first step that people that have experienced discrimination can go to and try to find a solution for that within the company and within the direct context of the situation. If there is no interest in doing this, because there might be reasons for people not to file a complaint at the inner company complaints mechanism, they easily could go to the courts. They would need to follow a certain procedure. If they have enough evidence, they could file a lawsuit against the employer then. So it's not, and this is something that is quite interesting and clearly regulated in the law, that even if discrimination is caused by other workers or colleagues, the employer is responsible for this. So a legal complaint or legal case would always be filed against the employer.
Oh, so it's not filed on an individual level then? Interesting.
And that's because the non-discrimination law rules that. So there is quite some responsibility by employers to inform their staff that they have to handle situations in a non-discriminatory way, which is part of the law.
Ahead of filing a complaint, let's say I'm just concerned that I'm possibly being discriminated against. Should I be documenting my experiences, keeping like a journal, I guess, or how should I kind of be leading up to that?
That makes very much sense because even this very low hurdle inner company procedure would need some reference, some document, some witnesses that say, yeah, the situation was this or that. So it makes sense if people, for example, do ugly, sexist, or whatever jokes, they should note down who was saying this, when was it said, who witnessed it, who listened to it as well, what was the reaction, and then they could, with that information, go indeed to contact the inner company complaints mechanism. And if they have not heard about this inner company mechanism, they should proactively ask for this. The companies are by law obliged to have this. Not everybody has it, but if there are situations which need to be dealt with, individual workers can ask for this.
If someone is having issues with their supervisor, they may be having conversations that are not happening with witnesses present. Mm. What should they do in such a situation?
This is making the situation quite difficult. Because if one person says, well, you told me this and that, and another person said, no, I have never said this, it's difficult to do this. But companies increasingly, and I'm seeing a very positive development there, being dependent on qualified employees coming from various countries. And this is some of the positive changes as well over the last 15 years. Companies are getting much more sensitized towards equal treatment because they cannot sustain their work and they cannot move on without international workers. So they often have something like a Betriebsvereinbarung, we call this, which is an inner company agreement, which has a legal standing and every worker is bound to these rules. And very often they do have some mission or vision statements and rules that workers have to apply. And very often, equal treatment and non-discrimination standards are defined there.
What about if I'm in Germany on a residence permit, and if that residence permit or, you know, work permit is connected to my employer? Is it risky to enter into a conflict with my employer in this situation? Can I lose my job?
That depends on the status that the people have. Indeed, we have the one or the other legal status that where the residence permit is bound for a certain period to one particular employer. Some years ago, it meant that if you wanted to change, you lost your status. But with the last changes in the migration laws, that is slightly easier because you have the possibility for a certain period, up to 6 months, to change employer under certain circumstances, and you can continue with a residence permit. That very much depends really on the how did you enter, which residence status do you have, because there's one that doesn't allow that, but it's only the West Balkans residence permit, so it's one very particular one. But in most of the cases, that has been changed in the last 7-8 months.
So it's still worth it, and you are unlikely to necessarily lose your job if you are to take up.
Yeah. But it always makes sense to get some advice by a migration lawyer. And I'm afraid to say that we don't have many of them, because the Residence Act, which is the law that rules immigration, asylum and humanitarian status, is very, very complex. So it's important to have good and competent advice on that.
If someone's like starting a job in Germany and they're in their first couple of weeks or their first couple of months and they're starting to notice like, I'm feeling like this person is making a lot of comments towards me that are maybe they seem nice, but they're not nice, right? You know, things that are kind of like going in the direction of microaggressions, if you know what that is, right? Mm-hmm. So when someone's starting a job, what should they kind of watch out for? And at what point should they decide to say something?
Yeah. What I would advise that they mention something towards their superior at a very early stage, in a friendly manner, not accusing somebody, because it might have been a misunderstanding that people may have a clear and to the point communication and it's perceived as being unfriendly, but saying, well, I feel uncomfortable with this. Can we clarify that? Or trying to get the superiors, because they have the responsibility in keeping peace in teams. So there are normally always people around that would be the right ones to clarify this. Maybe the staff department might also be the appropriate department. Or sometimes we even have in companies this complaints person where you can go and say, look, I have a problem with this and that. Can you help? And depending on the company, that might be the place to go as well. But the earlier and the smaller the problem or the communication problem is, the easier it is to be solved.
So really address the problem early and often if need be. Yeah. What about when it comes to job ads? So I can just give you a little bit of background on this. One of the things that I used to see years ago was that in certain job ads, people would list that they wanted Deutsch als Muttersprache, right? Or German as mother tongue. And that made it quite clear that I was not invited to apply for such a role, for example. I know that there's been some, you know, legal changes around that, right? But what should people be looking at when it comes to job ads, where maybe we can already tell from the job ad, ooh, there's something happening here that might be a little bit discriminatory?
Well, particularly the requirements on language is something that has changed quite a lot. Companies are now quite clear that if they are not hiring international staff, they have vacancies and nobody's doing the work. So we're getting much more relaxed when it comes to not being a German mother tongue speaker. And within the Equal Treatment Act, a number of cases had been filed at courts where the limit is for the requirement to have mother tongue speakers. If you, for example, looking for a job as a person in an editing house for correcting German books, let's say, and you are not speaking German at a mother tongue level, you may not be qualified for the job. There, it might be quite reasonable to say, we need somebody with mother tongue qualifications. If that is mother tongue or mother tongue qualification, is then all the same. You cannot say, okay, we need somebody with mother tongue who has a mother that speaks German and a father that speaks German. It is the capability of speaking at that level. That is something that is already a slight difference. So that is something people could look at. And we actually have rarely still this requirement. In the past, it happened quite often. For example, that people at a reception needed to ask German mother tongue. But the judgments on such cases have been clearly saying this is a form of discrimination. So it happens much less.
Are there any other aspects that we should watch out for in job ads besides language?
Normally, job ads describe a position and formulate the requirements, which is quite a neutral thing. And under normal circumstances, it's quite reasonable that people say, well, if you want to work as a plumber, you need to work with metal and you need to know how to do this and how to do that, which is probably not too hardly possible to discriminate on those cases. It's rather in an interview, for example, when people are then there and there are references to where do you come from, what's your religion, how do you treat women, and those type of things. That would not be in a job advert, but as soon as people are invited for an interview, there might be indeed situations where then strange questions are raised.
How do you recommend responding to those?
In fact, you don't need to respond at all. Or you can lie. Even that is possible. We have an equivalent situation to, for example, to women when they are in an interview and the employer asks them if they have a desire to have kids. They can say no. And even if they want to have a child since 5 years and they might get pregnant tomorrow, it's absolutely by law okay to say no. Because it's a question that is not allowed, in fact. But some employers just have not realized that it's inappropriate to ask this. So any reference to heritage, to religion, to family constellations, all this is not a part of an interview. They may just say, my family constellation is not really relevant for that position, so I rather prefer not to respond to this. Something friendly.
What about the application documents themselves? What are some things that applicants can do to protect themselves?
We have for quite a number of years, now there's an institution, which is the Anti-Discrimination Office at the federal level. They have propagated to have application documents without personal name, photo, date of birth, background, and those information. You may give that, but it's detected from the documents of the person. And you then only see that's a person that is qualified in this and in that and speaks this and this and these languages. So you only have in the assessment panels access to those information. I'm actually afraid that it is not that much used anymore. Because in Germany, we have still, which is an awkward situation to me at least, still a very popular habit that people do bring a photo, put a photo on the CV. In the past, it was done all the time, but it's getting less, but still quite popular. But if it's not done, it's not as strange as it was some 20 years ago. So people could just avoid giving a photo.
So I wanted to also ask about personal information. What's the bare minimum? What should people share? What should they not share?
Well, in fact, everything that is related to the profession, they can share. Everything that is related to a personal situation, family, kids, belonging to a minority, religious practices, has nothing to be done in an application. They don't need to talk about this.
Even residency permits or residency status?
Now, with all the changes of the law, we have a lot of possibilities to enter into Germany. And as soon as there is an employment contract signed, you have immediately the possibility to change to a longer term permit. So even that is not relevant, because as soon as the contract is signed, people then have at least one term for 2 years a legal status, and then it can be applied for another 5 years. And after that, they can have a long term unlimited status.
Sometimes people like to start with getting a job through an employment agency or a temp agency. Do you have any tips around that or things that they should watch out for?
Yeah, this is indeed a very sensitive point. As the requirements for immigration into Germany is quite big, the government is running various programs, sometimes in particular areas like the health sector. Those programs, in combination with governmental institutions, are very good, but producing very low numbers for people to come. There, people that are intending to come to Germany are absolutely in good hands, without an exception. When it comes to temp agencies or to private employment agencies, they should look twice if the conditions are okay. Because unfortunately, we realize that they are promising a lot and do not keep their promises always. Some of them are type of certified. So if there is a certification, an external certification saying they have been tested and the quality is good, you can trust that to some extent. But the ones that have no certification, I would rather say check everything, look on the contract, because sometimes it means that these companies force people that they have brought to Germany, when they want to change their employer because the working conditions are bad or the surrounding is not supportive or they are lost because nobody's helping them and they want to change the employer, sometimes those contracts contain parts that they need to return, parts of the costs that they have caused, like language costs, language training costs and stuff like that, or travel costs even, that they need to return them. And that may mean that they need to return 5, 6, 7, 8,000 euro at once, at a time where they want to change the employer. And those are contracts that, from a trade union perspective, we don't accept at all. And we are trying to get the government into an assessment if that should be better controlled, not only by voluntary certificates, but by the state, so that there are absolutely clear requirements, what is possible and what is not possible, and that those contracts then automatically only contain acceptable conditions. It is something where people need to keep eyes open.
It can end in really sad situations for people, because at the end of the day, you might be stuck then having to work out the end of your contract because you otherwise cannot finance having to pay back those huge sums
exactly.
of money, right?
That's the problem.
So I'm glad to hear you're doing work in that area to kind of move the needle and make that perhaps something that's not possible in the future for people to be more protected.
Well, and should it happen, the DGB is running various counseling services for people from the EU. It's one structure, and another one from third countries, where when they have problems with the employment contract, when they have problems with their employers, they can go there and get counseling, often in various languages, even in Arabic and in some African languages and Asian languages. They can go there and get situations checked. And get legal advice. So even if they are in a difficult situation, they should look out for support. But if they are not getting into those situations because they have checked that beforehand, even better.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here today with us and for sharing all of your insights. We really appreciate you doing so. This is going to be super valuable for our audience to listen to and hear how they can protect themselves in employment situations in Germany now and in the future.
You're welcome.
From my perspective and from my experience, the biggest thing to remember when it comes to quality, equity, diversity, and discrimination on the job in Germany, but in other countries as well, is as soon as you have the feeling that something's off, whether that's with your boss or with your colleagues or just in general with the way in which your contract has been set up, you need to reach out and ask for help. Right. And so in some cases, that might be that you need to talk to a boss or to the Betriebsrat. In other cases, you may need to reach out to the resources that we've mentioned around anti-discrimination. As soon as you have the feeling that something's off, reach out for help. The top three tips from today's episode that I took away from the interview with Vera include: first, understand and get to know legal protections. Germany has strong equal treatment laws, but awareness of these laws is crucial. International employees need to familiarize themselves with these laws and seek support from organizations or trade unions that specialize in anti-discrimination in order to help you navigate potential challenges. We'll link to some resources in the show notes to get you started. Second, recognize and address discrimination right away. Discrimination often occurs in subtle ways, especially in employment access. Be vigilant about unequal treatment, particularly during the hiring process. Compare your experiences with those of colleagues to identify areas of possible discrimination. If you feel like you are experiencing unequal treatment, start documenting things immediately and seek help from anti-discrimination organizations. This documentation is vital if you need to file a complaint later on. And finally, be cautious with temporary labor agencies. If your contract is in German, make sure you have someone look over it who has a full professional understanding of German to make sure you're not signing something that's incorrect or simply not in line with German labor law. Be on the lookout for certified agencies and beware of clauses that might require you to repay costs such as language training or travel if you leave the job early. Thank you for tuning into this episode. If you like the podcast, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and follow the show. If you have questions, ideas, or suggestions for future topics, please feel free to leave a comment below or write us via our online feedback form, which we'll link to in the show notes. Thanks for listening. Do you have a favorite German saying or idiom related to, and if we phrase this a little bit more positively, maybe not related to anti-discrimination, but more so to diversity, equity, inclusion, equal treatment?
Yeah, indeed, I have one, which I personally like a lot, which is, was du heute kannst besorgen, das verschiebe nicht auf morgen, which basically means what you can do today, you don't need to postpone for tomorrow. And it means go for it. Do things today and don't wait until situations are getting worse. Do something against discrimination today because tomorrow might be too late.
I love that. Inside Deutschland, your guide to careers in Germany, is a podcast brought to you by the Alumni Portal Deutschland. I am your host, Jessica Schuler. Sound design, music, and production, Stefan Stark and Arne Bergner for the Apparat Multimedia GmbH. Editing and production, Jessica Schuler, Amelie Baerbott, Charlotte Detich, and Leone Klüssendorf for the Apparat Multimedia GmbH.